Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Hey, Advisor Nation, Stacey here. Before we get started, I want to give a very special thank you to Dr. Bradley Nelson, New York Times bestselling author of The Emotional Code and The Body Code. Dr. Bradley, thank you so much for sponsoring our show. Your work is transforming lives across the globe, and we're honored to have your support. And to all our listeners, don't forget to subscribe and follow the show so you never miss an episode filled with life-changing conversations. Now, today, I'm really excited because I have a fascinating guest. His name is Aaron. Aaron is a visionary thinker, consultant, and creator who bridges technology, strategy, and human connection. He's currently working on a new project titled The Sex and Love for Self and Soul, which dives into really deep into the most of universal and misunderstood topics of intimacy. Aaron invites us to pause and ask, why are we having sex or making love? And more importantly, are we engaging from the ego or are we engaging from the soul? Aaron, welcome to the show, and please say hello to our listeners. Tell them a little about yourself and what led you to this powerful project.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Stacey. Thank you so much for having me. What a treat. This is such a fun project. And you know this too, that there's so many ideas flowing in and out, right? And, you know, my life has been dynamic and strange and unpredictable. And I've tried a little bit of this and a little bit of that and have been in so many different circles and got to experience so much. And of all the different cool, weird ideas and strange new businesses and ways to interact with people, some of those ideas really stick and land in different ways. And so I knew that it was worth pursuing a little bit deeper than just, that's a cool idea, someone should do it, right?
Yeah.
The journey, like who I am is, I'm Aaron Mandelbaum. I live in New Jersey. I grew up here. And I've been doing work in the realm of transformation and personal self-development since the 1900s. And it's just been a journey of magic and unexpected things that's taken me through the realms of one-on-one coaching, through real estate, through business school, through digital marketing and e-commerce, to speaking around the world on that world of, you know,
yeah,
business in the digital realms and things like that, to doing more one-on-one work and sacred sexuality and body work and things like that. And even though they all sound totally different, there's been this beautiful through line of presence and even strategy is like, let's stay curious without judgment. Let's notice what's going on. And let's try some things. Let's test and measure and optimize and repeat. And when there's presence and there's no judgment, it can be really fun to just play and try new things. So nice. I used to say that about digital marketing too, right? Like it was a great realm because there was no right answers, just current best practices. Like,
right,
we can't be wrong with this. And we have way more better analytics than ever before. Instead of just a billboard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So taking that through line of presence without judgment and curiosity led to this realization about like the people I was relating to and the relationships I was seeing and the coaching clients and the relationship clients who were coming to me and talking to me about their issues and their patterns and their confusion. And they... what emerged was this structure for understanding how we might relate, which was, where are you on this axis of, are you relating from your ego or from your soul? And from that place, are you engaging in an activity that's more sex or more making love?
Mm.
And this can just be, how are you being with the person in the moment? You know, like co-creating and dancing in a conversation where you're both engaged and we're here and we've got eye contact, even vertically, you know, or even virtually, right? There's this weaving and this love that's present, that's not just a static, like, where were you on January 2nd, right? Like, that's more of a like precise checklist, but we're weaving and co-creating and making something new and dancing with each other in this energy. Like, this is more on that love spectrum than it is on the, like, let's get this done, which can be fun and beautiful and has its merits. So the structure emerged and I started sharing it with people and they said, yes, this explains some things that I didn't know were an issue. And, you know, the main key is that there's no right place to be. There's no wrong place to be. There's no judgment. Nothing's better. Nothing's worse. It's like a, instead of a map pointing you towards something, it's, this is where you are. So it's more of like a mall map than a treasure map, right? There's treasure everywhere. There's pleasure everywhere. There's love and experience and connection everywhere. But knowing where you are helps you understand where you're not.
Right.
And that's been super useful.
I love that. Now, you make a distinction between sex from the ego and from love from the soul. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, I find that the realm of ego is one that's encapsulated in this human experience. It might be more tied to physicality. It might be tied to the present moment. It might be tied to some of our psychology of like how we see ourselves, like the viewpoint of that almost like aware adult archetype in ourselves that's running the show.
Yeah.
Versus the soul realm is like, what if I stripped away anything that made me me and stripped away anything that made my partner, like, what is this? What is this basal level primordial version of what they would convey or what I would convey that's independent of who I am? This is almost like the closest version we can touch is like seeing two actors read the same words.
Yeah.
There's something about, right, if Vin Diesel was playing Hamlet versus Benedict Cumberbatch doing Hamlet, you're going to get a very different performance.
Yeah.
And again, neither is right or wrong, but there's a certain flavor that comes through in what they're bringing to it. And just as if someone else lived my experience, they would still have a different experience and they would be a different, it would land differently. And that's what I'm saying is more of the soul, like this piece that is beyond the experience and the physicality of the human. So if I'm approaching an act like sex, maybe when I'm coming from the ego, from the soul, it might be touching on or coming from this place of dropping the physicality and connecting more into this realm of opening into what else is possible. So that quadrant of like ego, or I should say like full, the soul sex is more like emerging. If you're coming from your soul and I'm coming from my soul, we're melting past that physical boundary and we're becoming something else where the ego is disappearing or shedding off. What else is left there? We're connecting that we're existing on a physical plane, but there's something that's more ethereal dictating and moving the energy. What else is, what does that puddle look like? So I call that more of a merging, right?
I like that. Now, why do you think so many people confuse the physical intimacy with the soulful connection?
Yeah, this is great. The whole world of like sexual ethics and which is mired and beat up by thousands of years of history and cosmology, like what we believe is right and real. Like how much different would the world be if we couldn't associate sex with reproduction, if we just thought it happened on its own, right? So what would our laws look like, right, for one? So we're in a space where there's a lot of people who believe either I can't have sex unless I'm in love, or if I've had sex, it must mean that we're in love now because we had sex. And there's also a lot of people for whom sex is their primary, maybe only access to a realm of non-ordinary reality. It's which for some is drugs. For little kids, it's being spun around or playing on the swings. For some, it's plant medicines like ayahuasca or something like that. And they have these different accesses to non-ordinary reality. But for many, that's their first access. And it could be solo, it could be with someone else. And that experience of something beyond our day-to-day, which we experience through the ego, might be labeled as or touched upon as the soul. So some people might be coming together in this sex act looking to touch their own soul or possibly have an experience of someone else's. And without that awareness or that presence or even the investigation or curiosity, it can be a missed opportunity or it could be relegated to a realm of this means something really important and I'm not even sure what it is. Right.
Very true. Now, how can someone begin to notice the difference in their own relationships?
Yeah, this is great. Very few people get in trouble for over communicating. The only people I could think of are like people ratting out mafia people or witnesses or whistleblowers and stuff like that, right? So in a relationship, it's the same thing. There's all sorts of reasons why people don't talk with each other, with their partner. Not knowing what to say, being unsure if they can say it. How will that be received? What if it means they don't like me? What if what I have to say is strange or weird or something? And so what I find is a great first step is saying, like, there's something up and I'm nervous to say it. And I want to just, is it okay if I say this? Are you open to receiving this? And opening those doors to clear communication, even if it comes out clumsy, is such a good first step to begin that conversation. And it might be the case that that first conversation is curiosity, which is a beautiful place to lead from. I statements and curiosity. I'm curious about your experience. I'm curious about my experience. I'm curious about how this lands for you. Are we on the same page? Like, there's so many times where when this isn't done, someone's like, I connected with this person and we had this beautiful experience. It's like, are you sure? Because you read different reviews. Like, so it's like, are we aligned? What worked for you? How few people even take the time to ask, like, how did this feel? How did this land for you? What did you like? And checking me in.
That's really true. What role does self-love or like so I guess what role does self-love play in creating deeper intimacy with others?
What role does self-love play in creating different? Oh, it's so good. I like to believe, maybe imagine, maybe project that there's very little in the way of love when we land on this planet and in our existence of life growing up and things like that. There's very little in the way of love. There's something about the humanizing of being human or like the existing with other people that gets in the way of remembering that we just are love. This is the, remembering that we are love is the yogic path. Spoiler alert, yoga is not about bending over and it's not about paying $80 for pants and it is not about having the cutest water bottle or mat. Yoga asanas are very, very new in the world of yoga. Yoga is, I am love. And tantra is the next step, which is like, you are too. and we can melt and be one. And so it's almost like self-love doesn't add anything to this path. Self-love is a stripping away process to remember that we already were and already have been love. And anything that's in the way of remembering that is going to get in the way of seeing other people as love. And it's going to be a barrier in the type of connection we have. It's going to be a barrier in the communication, the barrier in feeling, right? That so much of the work, if you, you know, in the world of sex therapy, they're going to spend so much time like asking, like, how do you feel yourself? Do you get pleasure from even just touching your hand? Like, are you aware of your body, your experience? Are you present to what's happening? And TV is saying, no, think about your grandma or baseball and you'll have a better experience. And it's like, no, no, be present. So in a certain sense, it's the remembering and coming back to self that opens the door for everything else to show up. When this isn't a concern for me, when I'm not a concern for me and I can be present, then I have room to see someone else with clearer eyes.
Right. Now, in your work, do you see patterns where people seek validation through sex rather than connections?
Oh my gosh. I mean, like, it sounds so teed up. It's like, it's like if this is court, they'd say that's leading the witness. Like,
I love it.
And there's a time and place for everything. Right. So this comes back to intentionality, and there's so many reasons to have sex: healing, transformation, restoration, pleasure, reproduction, right? There's all these reasons to have sex. And there's plenty of great times to dive straight into sex as connection for the self with someone else. Like, it's totally great to be, you know, it may not go over well when you're meeting a stranger at the bar and it's not really good in society per se, but like, wow, I love the configuration of all your bits and pieces and I would love to feel them pressed against me. It's a good question to ask somebody. Like, that's a beautiful request, right? And there can be some genuine curiosity there. Collapsing sex and love can get problematic. Understanding where you're getting into, you know, what you're stepping into with somebody deserves that clear communication. What are your desires? What are your boundaries? What does this mean to you? Does this mean I'm going to send you, you know, I can start sending you memes every 20 seconds for the rest of our life? Are you expecting we're going to get married? You know, what is this connection? What's the result of this connection? There's so many great questions to ask so that we can go in with a clear understanding of what there is. On the other side of it, there is people don't have that language or don't have that experience, and they fall in love because of the act, right? This is the Ferris Bueller, Cameron Fry thing, right? Right. Yeah. Cameron's going to marry the first woman who he sleeps with because she's given him everything that he's built up to be the be all and end all, right? This is a real thing. So it's like, if we project all of our eggs in one basket, we start creating these energetic and psychological hooks. And so in psychology, a hook on something is my happiness depends on that.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, well, I touched them in this way, or they saw me in this way, or we did this thing. That means like I have this energetic hook. And now my happiness, it brought me to a happy place. And that person and that act is the key or the gateway or the path to that place. When we go back to non-ordinary reality, maybe you should try some breath work. You can get to some really cool places. You know, this is why people are cold plunging and base diving and trying to tame lions, tame lions, right? Yeah. There's so many accesses to non-ordinary reality that, people may not know that they can collapse sex with love, but it's worth knowing that it's possible, so that love can be chosen and not demanded. So much of our life of this existence so far has been a realm of expectation and deserving and entitlement. right? Now we're entering the realm of consent, where that's becoming way more popular. Like the 1950s realm of like entitlement and expectation, like you're my partner, we live together, we have separate beds until we don't, and no one gets divorced, and if they do, it's taboo. And now it's like, you didn't get consent for like ordering French fries before me, you know, and it's like to the micro level. So it's worth having the conversation. And part of this process and part of my joy and my love of what I do is dropping the shame, guilt, and fear around having some of these conversations. Because it's okay if you don't know what you want. Most people don't. But let's find out together and make it easy and safe to find out.
I love that. That's a great answer. How does the ego-driven intimacy affect long-term relationships?
This is great. So there's this can be when I showed this to a lot of different people, this map, a lot of people realize that that's where they've been. We've just had like ego sex our whole life, and it's what we do. We have to have it on our wedding night, and we have it on the birthday, and we have it because of this, that, and the other thing. And it's great. And they've never had an imprint of trying new things, of exploring other sensations, types of pleasures, kinks, interesting new toys, or whatever else. And they've been perfectly happy. And it can be coming from a love place. For a lot of people, it's like, we're having ego sex, but I only do that with somebody I love. And it's physical, visceral, bodies together, and it's great and it's done. And yes, I love you. And it's totally fine. There's no, you know, right or wrong or better. And the other thing that people say after they realize they've been doing that is like, I didn't realize there was something else. Right? Like, oh, what else is there? Like, now, oh wait, I do recognize that there's these moments where I have this deep connection. Yeah, I'm sure you know that old thing, like if you want to fall in love with your partner again, watch them do something they're passionate about, you know, like their job or something that they love, or they're making art, whatever. Like when you're watching that happen, that reigniting of the love, right? And that the whole cocktail of hormones and neurotransmitters and that whole cocktail that starts flowing of oxytocin and dopamine and whatever starts flowing, and that can be a sense of what that love is. And even if we take that and that's fueling this drive to go have ego sex, that's great. But being aware that there's some other layers can be important. So can you have a super fantastic, fulfilling, beautiful, multi-decade long relationship with just ego sex? 100%. Yeah.
I love her. Now, a lot of people tend to be to carry over the behaviors of their family members and especially their parents. So how do you break that? Because a lot of times it's very hard for people because they've grown up in an environment. They think that environment's normal because that's what they've seen their whole entire life. Then they get out into the real world and they meet somebody that they like. But all they've been taught is the what they saw with their parents, or what they experienced through other people's little stories that may be an exaggerated, but that's all they know. So how do you go from being that person that you are because of the environment you grew up in to being this soul-filled person that is connecting with their inner self.
So good. It's and not just family, but TV and movies. I mean, what have they done to us? Music, like this is what you deserve, this is what you should get, and all these things. So it's yeah, I feel like the first step is I mean, in speaking and doing workshops all over the world, like I can tell you that no matter what race or age or religion or sexuality or identity or whatever, most people are dealing with the same things. Like, am I enough? Am I lovable? And maybe my parents did the best they could. And it was awful or great, but they just did the best they could. And So coming, approaching it with the curiosity, I keep going back to curiosity. We don't recognize how, for the most part, people don't recognize how ingrained their patterns are and how much that came from family and how much of a belief that's how things are. Something I also didn't realize until I traveled more, you know, growing up in New Jersey and New York City and going to New York City all the time, like I was exposed to a d level of diversity that my friends who grew up in Maine and Kansas and Oklahoma didn't have. You know, I have a different perspective than they did. And recognizing that my perspective and how much was fueled by my environment, my parents, the media and things like that, it takes a lot to recognize that maybe that they're not necessarily right in air quotes, right? It's just what was. And the enlightenment is not, I am not necessarily, I am everything and everything's perfect and all that. It's maybe there's more. Maybe this isn't how it is. Maybe this is how it is through my filter of all these things. So what I encourage is building a red flag and a green flag list of people you want to be with. And dating is developing that list. Like, wow, I met this person and they're this particular kind of way. And I didn't know somebody could be like that. And I definitely don't want that ever. Like, now they're on my red flag list. That quality's on my red flag list. And noticing if we're putting like ways of being on a red flag list versus like has a passport, pays their bills, like how much is doing and having, but how much is who they are? Like maybe you want someone who has a passport, but what you really want is someone who is adventurous and spontaneous. So shifting the criteria and meeting people with curiosity to see what you can learn and what else is out there, noticing where those biases come in, where those prejudices or assumptions come in of this is how it always is, just because it's been that way. And this is true for anybody who's been in terrible relationships. Like, I don't want to date a guy who's like XYZ because they're all like this. Or I'm going to project my past girlfriend on my new girlfriend and like assume that this is how it is. And it's like, that's terrible. I don't like giving them a chance to actually show up. This person isn't my ex. And I'm not every male. And this person's not every female. And this person's not every trans person or intersex person. Like, let that person be the person. So noticing that the biases is a huge, great first step.
I think that's a great answer. Now, what are some of the daily practices or reflections that help us tune into the soul instead of the ego?
Wow. Yeah, I love this. On one sense, it's anything that's the ego often runs on autopilot. It's the default, always on filter that we're living in, right? The rose-colored glasses of our existence. Trying some new things is key. This non-ordinary reality is really is fascinating. This is some of the entertainment value of being stripped away from your life and diving into like a Marvel movie or something that's, you know, or a concert where you're taken away and you're in somewhere else. That can be one of those moments. There's a certain sense of, you know, there's lots of paths, I'll say that. And lots of different schools and cultures and societies have paths that they like. There's meditation where you're quieting and you're going inward, and there's like extreme meditation of like 40 days of silence, and you're not even writing in your journal, and you know, you're enduring and you're pushing through the itch that you want to scratch, and you know, full on Vipassana mode. There's plant medicine to take us to non-ordinary reality. There is making love. There is, you know, this is where a lot of people get into recreational drugs. There's ritual and ceremony and experiences like ecstatic dance or like even Sufi spinning and whirling, right? that can take us into this non-ordinary reality. I have somebody who their access often is darkness. They want to spend hours and hours as much as they can. They want to spend like they could spend 3 or 5 hours a day just sitting in darkness, and that's their access to dissolving of the self and being somewhere else. So there's lots of ways, and as long as it's not causing any non-consensual pain or upset for anyone else, then go for it. If it's not detrimentally affecting your time, your life, your and the people around you, then try it. So, like I said about yoga, like you can take a ton of yoga classes because you want to be able to get your ankle behind your head, or yoga for finding a comfortable place to sit to dissolve. It's a different flow. So lots of ways, but it's what I'd love as the real answer is notice which parts of those rose-colored glasses and your ego are running the show to an extreme, and you don't have control over it. Like, where have you given up your control? Can you take that back and have that be just the start of the access to what can I try that's different and see something way bigger?
I like that. Now, this project touches on deep vulnerability. Why is vulnerability essential in love?
Ooh, I love this. It's funny because I've struggled with the word vulnerability a lot. When I looked up the, I couldn't figure out why I didn't like it, and I looked up the definition, and it's like open to attack, and it's like, ugh, that feels weird. And I get it, like I don't have my armor and my defenses and stuff like that. What if it was actually like openness or honesty or, what if it was clarity? What if it was integrity? What if it was something like that that can get to the same place where there's no fear or threat of like, I'm available to be hurt. And I hear this all the time. Like, I don't want to get into a relationship because then I have to be vulnerable. I'm giving my heart away. And what if it gets hurt or I get broken? Like, I say, give your heart away in hopes that it gets cracked open. And ideally, it gets cracked open super wide so that we can live even better. And there's no reason you can't end a relationship without heartbreak. There's no reason we can't, dissolve a partnership or a relationship and move into something greater and have it fuel us and be something that's bigger and take us to another level and be transformative and healing and self-respect. So, this also ties into this idea of being honest and being open and being aware. So some of the magic of this realm is that honesty and practicing that communication. What are your desires, fears, and boundaries for this interaction right now? Right? I have friends who've been married for nearly a decade, and they and were dating for years before that. And every single time they have a physical and intimate encounter, they talk about their boundaries, desires, and fears. So it's not necessarily vulnerable and putting them open to attack, but it's an act of radical self-care. My boundaries aren't against you. My boundaries are for me. My desires are me getting what I want. And you want that too. And you have this desire. Can those work at the same time? Amazing. And my fears are like my boundaries, my desire is going to sound weird to you. Or I'm going to want something at a level 10 and you just want a 2. But let's find out. Because if we're both subjugating ourselves or repressing what we actually want or avoiding learning about what we want, then neither of us is getting what we want. And then what's the use? So shifting from vulnerability to like, how can I access deeper, the deep end of the pleasure pool? How can I access new expansion and find some more of what I like and what I don't like? And by the way, those moments where we're cut off from what our desire is, when we hit that pleasure ceiling, that might be an indicator of a time in our past where our school, family, religion, authority figure slapped our hand away from something that we liked. And our pleasure was denied. So it could be an interesting trauma-informed piece of, wow, I see where I was cut off from pleasure, and I'm going to reclaim that now because this is a safe space to do that in.
I like that. Yeah, very true. A lot of times we do get cut off and goes into our subconscious and we don't even realize how, all the stuff that we plant in there. There's a ton of it. Yeah, it's very true.
So much.
What do you hope people will walk away with after engaging with sex and love for self and soul?
I would love for someone to say, like, that's interesting. And that's curious. And I wonder. And ideally having some conversations with their partners and our friends and trying something new. Noticing what they notice. That's the best. Curiosity. What did you notice? No judgment, no shame, no fear, no guilt, no better than, no worse than. Like, just notice. Oh, well, that's fascinating. I noticed this. And maybe, perhaps, it will provide the language for the thing we didn't know we were experiencing. When you learn a new word, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the word I've been, that explains the thing. So I would love that for that to be helpful for someone.
Now, for listeners who may feel disconnected or stuck in repeating patterns, what are one step they can take to change their experience?
Ooh. I love this idea of starting a conversation with boundaries, desires, and fears with a partner. I love, one thing, if you're not partnered right now and you're with yourself, see if you're stuck in any patterns with your own self-pleasure. Bring touch in a new way. Use a different hand, use a different toy. Like, can you feel your skin? Can you stay present? Can you notice where you're losing presence? That's a great practice. Trying anything new, shifting any, even a small thing can be huge, right? Can have a huge impact. A tablespoon less of sugar in a day can be, a whole new you in 20 days.
100%. Yeah, that is very, very true.
Yeah.
Now, how does this project connect with your broader mission and the work you've been doing over the years?
So yeah, I my goal is I want to take people from a stuck mess to an F yes, like full on yay life. And that's my turn on, is like being with people who are transforming things and are finding more joy and more, not even just sexual pleasure, but just loving their life and seeing that they're amazing. And so shifting anything that's stuck and seeing that aha moment is fantastic. And so, doing that through one-on-one coaching or leading workshops and courses or whatever it is, or body work, I do all those things. And I appreciate and recognize that everyone learns and experiences the world in different ways. So this is another outlet for that. If I'm giving marketing advice to an executive, if I'm speaking to a C-suite of executives about digital business strategy, versus the startup, shamanic entrepreneur, I might be saying the same thing, but I'm going to use different analogies and say it in a different way and have them hear it in a way that they can hear it. And so this is another version of that, right? There's a visual map attached to it. There's some words. It can be heady. It could be poetic. It can be, some people don't learn this way. Some people don't learn by reading or seeing visuals. They want to hear a podcast, or they want the body work where I've got a hand on a rib or in between their ribs, and they say, I'm seeing a picture of a cat. I'm like, what's that about? And like getting curious and pulling out their lived experience. That's how they do it. They would do it more somatically. So it's another expression of something else. And it's a bit more heady. It's for, it can be for that crowd, but it's also a conversation starter, which helps spread the word. So I feel like it's a great in and, micro adjustment of the prism through which, all this starts to shine.
I love that. Now, can you tell everybody about the products and services that you offer right now?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I would do a lot of one-on-one coaching, couple coaching, business strategy consulting. I offer a, free conversation so we can see if we're a fit. I'm very okay not being a good fit for you. I don't have to be. I'm not going to sell you on anything. I'm so not interested in sales. Like, I'm so not interested in trying to convince somebody to buy something. We've talked about that before. Like, I'm more interested in finding the alignment. So, free conversation, let's see what's up. I do more sacred sex body work, which is, like I said, it's like a combination of coaching and somatic release. Where is there stuck energy? Where is there stuck things in your anatomy, in your body? People think they need like de-armoring and yoni reviving, and it's like your duodenum's like needs something go has got something going on. Let's adjust that, and then memories flood back, and let's talk through that. So I do that. I also lead a bunch of different workshops around the world. My signature workshop is called Voyage into Presence, and it's 3 to 4 days of ritual and experiences, all about noticing where are we present so that we can notice where we're not present and bring ourselves back. And I've got a couple coming up, and more coming up soon. So those will be happening all over the place. But yeah, I'm very findable. I love creating custom things for people. Like, I got an idea for this, or how do I deal with that? And I'm also a great collector and networker of people. So if someone's like, I'm looking for this, like, cool, awesome, love that. I'm not your dude. I know somebody who's perfect. Can you get to this place? Or they're going to be near you soon. I like I said, I'm so not into sales that I don't want to push any workshop or course or book or something. I want to find what's right for you. And it's okay that people aren't ready for all the things. There's some intense trainings and programs. Like, you don't have to be a yes for that. Let's figure out what works for you. Some are more trauma informed, some are more spacious, some are more intense, and that's what you need. So I'm happy to have a conversation to find out what works.
I love it. I love
Yeah.
it. Now, where can people find you?
AaronMandelbaum.com, and that's got my calendar on it. It's got links to find me. I also have a one-way WhatsApp group where once a month I just say, here's my calendar, here's what's up, and it's not spam. I'm the only one who can write there. There's links to that there. And also on that site is a link for freebies, AaronMandelbaum.com/freebies. And you can get a PDF that's got some of the sex and love for self and soul on there. There's links to book consulting packages and the free conversations. I won't sell anybody a consulting session or a package or a body work unless we've had a conversation at least once. So there's links to that, and you can see all the reviews and all the other things and recommended books. I got on my website, there's a whole stack of recommended books and products and things like that. So I'm very findable, but that's a good hub, AaronMandelbaum.com.
I love it. Well, this has been amazing. This has been such a powerful conversation, and your wisdom is outstanding. I love the way you look at things, and I love the way you share and your view on sex and love and just really connecting with the soul and the differences between it and the importance of letting down that ego and really opening yourself to a new experience, a new way of experience love, a new way of experiencing sex, a new way of letting your walls down where it doesn't have to be where you're vulnerable, but it you can let down those walls and you can kind of, it just that heart wall, like Dr. Bradley says, kind of goes down and you get rid of all those insecurities and all those trauma and all those things that held you back. And you have the ability to now experience things in a new way that you've never experienced before. And I love how you teach people that. And this has been just an amazing conversation. I thank you so much for being on the show. I hope you'll come back and we could talk more about different topics and really get into this and dive deeper. I really appreciate you.
100%. I appreciate you too. Thank you for doing this and bringing to light all this amazing stuff. Like, why not more? Why not more? Good enough shouldn't be good enough. Let's make this life as short as it is. Let's make it as great as it can be.
100%. Let's reach our full potential in all areas of life, for sure.
Woohoo.
Yes. Well, you have a
Thanks.
great day, and thank you so much.
You too.